This week, we have the chance to gather with families and friends and observe Thanksgiving Day. So how will you celebrate? You know, in our nation, we actually set aside this day. It's called a holiday, which means some of us get off the day to actually express gratitude and to feast. And so what are you grateful for on this Thanksgiving? Maybe for a long weekend with no school. Anybody grateful for that? Yeah? No? Nobody? No. Parents, no. Maybe bringing together with family and friends. Are you grateful for that opportunity? Yes, absolutely. How about grateful for the feast? Ham or Thanksgiving turkey or yams or my favorite stuffing that is overdone. Anybody thankful for all that extra food? Sure, certainly. How about football? No, or maybe a chance to go do some extra shopping. Nobody really wants to admit that, but come on, you know, somebody probably will. So there are some things that are associated with Thanksgiving, and whether you enjoy them or not, that's up to you. But it is worth taking a moment to really consider and think about why we have a Thanksgiving Day in our country. So this day actually has real purpose and meaning behind it. It's worth remembering. So Thanksgiving, as we probably know, traces its beginnings back to the Pilgrims, who were some of the first European Christians to permanently settle here in North America. So tradition and early documents reveal that these Christ followers were seeking a way to worship God in freedom. And they had a failed attempt at that in Europe, and so they went across the Atlantic Ocean and arrived on the shores of New England in the beginning of winter, in November. So maybe they arrived to something like this. And it was a devastating winter. In fact, half of the people in Plymouth Colony died that first winter. But then God's blessing began to be poured out on them over the spring and the summer as the Native American neighbors that they had began to help them and began to teach them how to live in this new land. And so after surviving that winter, they came together that fall and enjoyed a bountiful harvest of a game and their crops, and they celebrated with a feast for 3 days. So that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So Thanksgiving, that first year, was a celebration of feast, and later they dedicated a specific day to celebrate, to actually give thanks to God for his continuous provision and blessing as God allowed them to simply survive in this new land. So these pilgrims were living truly a life of gratitude that first Thanksgiving because God had allowed them to live. What are you thankful for? You know, it's been great this morning as we respond to this psalm and offer our thanksgiving to all that God has done, and as we share our gratitude together and express those reasons that we are thankful. As followers of Jesus, giving thanks is an act of worship. It's part of our worship. It's biblical. King David, king of Israel, he instructed the tabernacle worshipers in his day, saying, "Worship him," or "Give thanks to the Lord, worship him. Tell the nations what he has done." So the psalm that we read in Psalm 136 earlier and responded to talked about all the things that God had done to redeem his people, you know, in the Old Testament. And it's an amazing story of how God was at work. And they recalled that, and as they did, they gave thanks. But we also are a people of gratitude, and we have the opportunity to recall all the things that God has done through Christ to redeem us, to save us from our sin, and to give us new life. And when we recall that, we express it in gratitude. It's part of our witness to tell it, to express that gratitude. So we express gratitude, we express thanksgiving when something good happens, right? Generally, something good happens and we say, thank you, yeah. So somebody cooks you a big Thanksgiving meal, what do you say?
Thank you.
Yeah, we better, otherwise we might not get it, right? So someone buys you a personal pan pizza at Homer's or a cup of coffee, what do you say? Thank you. Yeah, really grateful. Somebody gives you a ride to school on a really, really cold day. What do you say? Ooh, yeah, that was nice, huh? Gratitude. Or plows your driveway before you get out to shovel it. Thank you. Yeah. So that wasn't necessarily a hint, but, you know, gratitude that we give it, you know, for good things that happened in our lives. And so we give gratitude to God when we've been praying and asking God to answer a prayer, and it happens. And what do we say? Thank you. Thank you, God, right? We have a job. That's good. We have a roof over our heads. That's really good. We have food to eat today. That's awesome. What do? Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. God is good. And so we can give thanks for God, who is good and who desires good in our lives. We have a good, good God. And that truly is something to be thankful for every day. So we're grateful when good things happen to us. And our response is of thanksgiving. You know, it's not just Minnesota nice to say thank you. It's not just being polite like your mom taught you. It's our expression of gratitude. Thank you for the good. Gratitude is our response to something good. And gratitude to God is worship. So the Apostle Paul sees these two acts of worship and thankfulness as intricately connected. He says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, and always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about you and I as we leave these walls today and go out into the world? Are we worshiping by living a life of gratitude in our lives? You know, what if I realize that I'm not as grateful as I ought to be? How do I cultivate that life of gratitude in my life on a daily basis? Well, we're going to look at this Colossians passage in chapter 3, dig into it a little bit. But let me ask you, does it seem that you are tempted to complain more than you are offering gratitude or thanksgiving? I do. I really do. Is that true, Cheryl? Yeah, sometimes. She pleads the fifth, and I'm grateful. So where does gratitude come from? How do we cultivate this life of gratitude? You know, Judy was a postmaster in my hometown, and Judy was this person who was always positive. She was always grateful. You know, I consider myself somewhat positive, but I held nothing on Judy. She, every time you'd go in, it could be storming out and she'd be thankful for the rain. It could be hot and hot and hot and she'd be grateful for a sunny day. You know, whatever it was, Judy was grateful. And finally, I asked her, you know, Judy, why are you so positive? Why are you always so thankful? And she said, you know, I just got sick of complaining. And one day I said, I'm just going to be grateful. I'm just going to be positive. And she said, from then on, I have just practiced it every day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have the kind of willpower that Judy has. How about you? I do complain. And so I need to begin to practice what thankfulness means. So what is at the root or the heart of giving thanks? And so we're going to look at this. The apostle says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So the first step to cultivating this life of worship through gratitude is to seek peace through a relationship with Jesus. And so what are we grateful for? Isaac spoke about it. Ultimately, we're grateful for that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm not so sure about my response of gratitude, but I am sure about the peace of God. You know, some of you have heard my story, you know, this peace of God comes to us as a gift. You know, I was in a terrible moment. I was in fear and dread. And in that time, I called out to the Lord and I simply said, God, if you're real, because that's where I was. I wasn't sure. God, if you're real, save me. And at that very moment, I experienced the peace of Christ, God's peace, just overflow in my life. It was amazing. I went from dread and fear in the moment to this overwhelming sense of peace, of being held in God's arms. And it was amazing. I know the peace that the Bible talks about that passes all understanding. And I've experienced it over and over again. In fact, there's times I could tell you when and where I experienced that peace because it was so powerful, so overwhelming. I know the peace of Christ. But I'm not sure always about my response of gratitude. A biblical scholar, Edie, he defines this peace as the calm of mind, which is not ruffled by adversity, overcrowded by sin or remorseful conscience, or disturbed by the fear and the approach of death. It's the peace that Jesus gives, and it comes by way of obedience. Now, I kind of trip up a little bit on that word of obedience because I wonder, you know, is peace dependent on obedience? But, you know, then I think back, you know, my step of obedience was simply this: God, if you're real, save me. And God poured out his gift of peace upon me. And so that peace that Christ gives through a relationship with him is at the heart of living a life of gratitude. It's where we find that grace to respond with thanksgiving. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You know, Isaac shared what it means to have that relationship with Jesus, to know that peace, to simply invite Jesus into our hearts, to ask. And God is faithful. He comes, he sends his son Jesus to come in and to live in us and for his peace to rule in our lives. So the first step to cultivating this life of worship through gratitude is seeking that peace that comes through a relationship with Jesus. So the second is to learn how to express gratitude. So gratitude is a response to something good, and we need to learn to express it. So there was a woman leaving the Sunday worship service, and she said to the minister, "I enjoyed the sermon." And the pastor said, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord." And she responded, "Oh, it wasn't that good." So how do we learn to express gratitude to God? Well, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, Paul says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So when we responded earlier in this Psalm 136, we were expressing gratitude for all the acts that God had done. And so in the New Testament, we're expressing gratitude when we share the message of Jesus Christ. And when we're doing that, we are, in that sense, expressing gratitude for what God has done, for the new life he gives us. So we hope that others hear that message and that they also respond with thanksgiving and gratitude because they too know that peace of Christ that passes all understanding. So we have had an opportunity to sponsor a child through the Covenant Kids Congo. And we have a kid named Shadrach that we sponsored. Do we have his picture up there? And Shadrach, when we first got a picture of him and sponsored him, he was a little kid about 3 years ago, and he just looked so downcast. He was probably wondering why they had this big camera out and taking pictures of him. But, you know, he was just there with this blank expression on his face. And the next year we got a picture. He was a little bigger. His clothes looked a little more ragged, to be honest. And he still had that same lost expression on his face. But this year, when we got his picture, look at that. There's a smile on Shadrach's face. And it brings me great joy to see that, to think that there's an expression on Shadrach's face of gratitude to God for what he has done. You know, in the Covenant Kids Congo, they get food, or they help them learn how to grow food in their country, one of the most poverty stricken in the world. They have fresh water. They allow them to have education and health care, and they share the gospel with them as they're doing all of this in the whole community. And for Shadrach, it seems to be resulting in an expression of thanksgiving. So in the phrase, the message of Christ, it encompasses the whole gospel and the teachings of Jesus. So as we share it, we encourage one another in living this gratitude, which is worship. So this Thanksgiving, we're not doing a service here at the church. And we're inviting all of us to go out into our places where we gather, where we eat, and to share the gospel. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ways is just simply sharing what we're thankful for. We're thankful for the new life that God gives us. We're thankful for the blessings that God gives in our family. And here's my encouragement to you, if you don't already do this, to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. When you sit down and everybody gets around the table, just stop, just pause, and take a moment to thank God for what is before us. That is a witness, and that witness becomes our worship based in gratitude. For some of us, the second way that we witness or express gratitude is when we sing. Through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. For some of us, that may be a dilemma. I've actually heard some of you say, "You don't want to hear me sing." Anybody have said that here? So, you know, actually the truth is, I do want to hear you sing. Can I right now? No. I do want to hear you sing because God wants to hear you sing. And so therefore, I do as well. But here's the thing. God is not so concerned about the quality of your voice. Do you believe that? God is not entirely concerned with the quality of your voice. He's concerned with the condition of your heart. God is concerned with your heart, and then that expression that comes out of it. You see, God has given each of us a voice, an opportunity to express our gratitude and thanksgiving, to sing and make music in our heart to the Lord. So heartfelt worship is giving thanks in our heart. So if you're uncomfortable, really, this is my advice to you, if you're uncomfortable with singing to God, you know, either in the shower or, you know, together in the church, I want to just encourage you and say, get over it. Really, I mean, God has given us a voice to sing and worship, so we just need to invite, we're just encouraged to practice it. And I truly believe that as we do this, that you will begin to experience gratitude and joy in your heart, no matter what it sounds like, because to God, it's beautiful. The psalmist says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." So I really do believe that as we engage in a joyful worship, that we experience that gratitude to God. And yes, if you have told me that I don't want to hear you sing and you sing, I'm just going to smile. I won't criticize. So we learn to express gratitude to God when we're thankful for each other. Finally, always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul is always saying that he's thankful for the believers and for how God is at work in each other's lives. You know, we practice being thankful both to God and to each other. And gratitude amongst each other promotes peace and promotes a relationship that builds and grows in Christ. So I am grateful for each one of you here today. I truly am. And you know, if you're thinking in your mind, you know, "Tim, I really don't sense that from you," then I'm sorry. I really am. I am working on this just like everyone else. I am in the process of trying to live and understand what it means to live a life of gratitude. And so I am thankful for each one of you and for how God is at work in your lives and how God is, growing us as the body of Christ. Not just this, but in our hearts and in our lives and in expressions of gratitude. So truly am, I thank God. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. You know, when we're grateful for each other, it shows. It begins to be expressed in all kinds of ways. When we're grateful, we become more patient with each other. That's huge, isn't it? We listen to each other and really hear one another. We begin to care about each other, not just because we see each other, but because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we begin to love each other more and more, all out of that habit of gratitude. So we're called to work on it, to be thankful for each other. So the first step in cultivating a life of worship through gratitude is seeking that peace that comes from a relationship with Christ. The next step is to learn to express these our gratitude, practice it. And finally, we need to know when to express gratitude. There was an elderly man. He lay in the hospital with his wife of 55 years at his bedside. "Is that you, Ethel? At my side again?" he whispered. "Yes, dear," she answered. He softly said to her, "Remember years ago when I was in the Veterans Hospital? You were there with me then. You were with me when we lost everything in a fire. And Ethel, when we were poor, you stuck by me then too." The man gave out a big sigh, and then he said, "I tell you, Ethel, you are bad luck." So this guy obviously didn't get when we should practice gratitude. Always be thankful at every moment. Judy at the post office, she got this. Gratitude isn't reserved for one day a year during Thanksgiving. This is an everyday, all the time attitude of the heart. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, gratitude always and gratitude in everything. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is a challenge. If we are to be thankful, then in all things, are we to be thankful when things are bad? And that's a tough one, isn't it? Because I'm really not, my response to bad things is not always gratitude or thanksgiving. You know, when I have pain or when I suffer deep grief, I don't respond necessarily with gratitude. And when I see you in pain or see you in grief, my heart breaks, and it's not always an expression of gratitude. But then I realize I can be thankful that God is with us in the midst of every struggle and every difficulty, that God does not abandon us. He does not leave us. He is there. He knows our struggle. He knows our pain. He himself struggled and went through pain on the cross. And so Jesus is there with us. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. And I am grateful that we are not left alone. And I can acknowledge with the biblical writer Job, when we say, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." May we offer thanksgiving in the name of the Lord. And everything we do and everything we experience, we can retain a sense of God's goodness in doing so. And be thankful to God. God is good. God desires good for his people, and God will work all things, even the difficult, awful, terrible things, for good, somehow, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So we can cry out, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So I want to encourage you this week of Thanksgiving to commit yourself to cultivating a life of worship through gratitude. What are you grateful for? Express it always.